It's the Mike Wills Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. Today is May 11th, Monday, May 11th, 2020. And this is unknown day of dog days of dog days of quarantine. And I'm going to stick to it. I don't even remember what day I started working from home, so I can't even tell you anything about how many days I've been working from home or anything like that. Fun. Anyway, I'm just wrapping up my taxes here. Finally got around to them. It's about a month late, almost a month late. I'm going to blame COVID. I know this really shouldn't be an excuse at this point, but I'm going to blame it because normally I would have had done by now. Not sure why, but it was just busy, crazy busy, and I did not have time to sit down for, literally took me a night. Well, two, because I had to collect the information, but yeah, I got it all done. So, transmitting now. Done. So, I don't think I posted anything yesterday, but yesterday was kind of a lazy day, we'll just call it, probably for the lack of a better term, because it really was, actually. I was just half listening to the radio. There was a net earlier tonight on MinWiz, which is kind of Minnesota, Wisconsin. They have what they call a technical net, where they kind of go into technical details about various things and the fusion digital modes and so on. And I was kind of half listening to it. And then I just kind of kept it on that channel as I was going through all the tech stuff. And I was started listening, was like, what the heck? I was talking about conspiracy theories on COVID. And they said something about how they think, they may not create as a bioweapon this COVID, but it may have been a bioweapon created by the Chinese, but it was definitely from a lab and was accidentally released from the lab and blah, 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 blah. But, you can talk conspiracy all you want. We are not going to know. Chinese will never fess up to whatever may have happened. It's very well possible there was animal to human transmission for the first time, but we don't know. And it's probably more than likely we will never know. So, I just kind of ignore it mostly. Apparently, if you get on 80 meters, which is one of the ham band sets, where you get a lot of old guys talking smack and blah, blah, blah. And so it sounds like it's something that new people should probably go out there very often. It was just like, now I'm really curious. So, that was completed. I don't know where I was going. So I just got done listening to that conversation. It's like, I should probably record here. The last several nights have been kind of lazy nights, and I kind of really like those sometimes. and then even today, the motivation wasn't completely there. So I think I got to try and get my butt to bed earlier so I can get some motivation tomorrow, because I got stuff to do. I just couldn't get it in me to do much overly productive work. Obviously, I did some stuff, but not my best day. Let's just put it that way. I should clip out those yawns, but I'm not going to do it. this is the Old Days Podcast, and you just record, not care what gets posted. I do have interesting updates, though. Not that you, I can show it to you because I was just about to grab it. I finished up my transformer for my HF antenna Sunday. So I guess I was a little productive on Sunday. So Sunday, I was helping out a little bit with some testing. Really, I was only helped out with one and listening to people talk, but whatever. I had the transformer wound already, and I got all the holes drilled. I got everything kind of put in place. There is two more things I got to do with it before it's completely done. One, I got to tighten up the antenna connector a little bit more. I'm not happy with it's. Have you ever tried to put a Phillips screwdriver into at an angle? Yeah, it doesn't work very well. So I got to figure out an option so I can tighten that up. And yes, I do know that they sell 90-degree Phillips screwdrivers. Just debating if that's the way I want to go or whatever. And then, let's see here. Yeah, so I got that all in, soldered in. Solder, I don't like the solder job, but I think it'll work. And I was like, oh, cool, done. I walked in later that day or that night. I forgot, whatever. I looked at my shelf and there were sitting capacitors. Now, I only needed one. I think I've mentioned that before. I only needed one capacitor. I didn't use any. I looked at the bag and I said, aw, crap. So today over my lunch hour, I took a little bit longer, or I shouldn't say a longer lunch. I took my normal lunch. We get, what was it, two breaks and 30 minutes for lunch. And most office workers, they just take the full hour as lunch and not take any breaks. So that's what I did. Normally, since I've been working from home, once I'm done with lunch, play with the dogs for a couple of minutes, I come back and get right back to it. Usually maybe half hour. So I took the little extra time. I soldered in the capacitor, and now it is ready to go. All I need to do is put in, I don't know if you watch Shark Tank, but on Shark Tank there was these sticky screen repair kits, and I know I have it somewhere in the house. I'm not quite sure where, but I figured I'm going to use that. I should probably take a step back quick. Part of this, so you put this, these ferrite cores, and with the wrap, the wire around it, in a case to help protect it and so on. And the biggest recommendation is to cut a vent hole. Now you might wonder why you need a vent in something like this. These ferrite cores can get hot, like really hot. Especially if you're running full legal limit, which is 1500 watts, if I get the radio I want, it'd be 100 watts, but so that'd be 10, 15 times the power, whatever. Anyway, 15 times the power. My brain went, go away from that. What you need is, because it creates a lot of condensation when you have temperature differences, you know, maybe it's winter out and you are generating a lot of heat, it's going to create some condensation. So you create these vent holes to A, help it circulate, keep stuff out. Obviously, you don't want bugs in there, so you got to kind of block the vent holes. Probably shouldn't have water in there either, but I didn't want to buy the extra vent hood and all that stuff. And I've seen some people just drilled holes and then they put like a little sticky screen on it so bugs don't get in there. So that is what I did. And there are weeping holes at the bottom. Yeah, there's three of them I drilled. So water should be able to escape. And any that does get in. And bugs should not be able to get in there. So we should be good. Really, it needs to be able to breathe and the condensation be able to drain. And that's ultimately kind of what the goal of that whole thing is. So I got that all done. Then I went back to my wire, and I'm not happy with how there's a little spot you got to wind it. I'm not really happy with how I wound that, so I might rewind that yet. I feel like it might be too loose. And that's why I kind of want to rewind it. But I made a second one just because, hey, I was sitting out here and I made a second one. Oh, crap. I just realized I may have screwed up. Well, I guess I'm not. I guess I'm not rewinding that one because I already soldered the antenna connector on there. I shouldn't say antenna connector. I soldered a ring connector on there to hook up to the antenna port on the transformer. So I'm going to use it as is. I can't remember what exactly it was used for, but I do have some of bunched together, so I'm hoping that will work. I did make a second one that is I'm much more happy with, hoping that the... that one of them will work, one of them will work for the needs of the antenna. And then the other one, if I need to fix that one, I would. But then get something made that is usable for a portable type scenario. Yeah, I'll have to get some more cores, but I'm thinking about making something a little bit lighter. Not necessarily because, There's two different reasons to make something lighter. One, you're actually backpacking it up the mountains or whatever, and you need to carry it. And this thing's pretty hefty. I would say about, I don't know, 1.5-2 pounds. I mean, that all that stuff kind of adds up. And then the wire is another couple pounds, I think. I'm not planning on doing that. If I do plan on doing that, well, first of all, I need a different radio than what I want to buy. And two, obviously, when you get a smaller radio, you need smaller antenna because you're going to be carrying all this stuff. And ounces matter at that point. I'm not planning on doing that. I might at some point, but that's not the immediate goals. The immediate goals is just take the radio off the desk and take it with me camping or whatever we might want to do. So weight isn't a big deal. But there's no reason to carry an extra, big heavy transformer if you don't necessarily need it. On the other hand, I have an extra one, so I could order two more and just build another one. I don't know. That's future me problems. So I have that made. I think they call it a loading coil is what I'm talking about on the wire. What do they call it here? Compensation coil, they call it. I forgot what the compensation coil compensated for. I think it was like 40 meters or something. I don't remember. I'm not going to go into those details with you guys. So the transformer, I think I talked about it, but it's a, what they call a 49-to-1 transformer. So there's two primary turns, of which, one end connects up to the center connector, your coax, which is the transmission line. And then it twists and loops around with a second wire and it comes back. So it's two loops through the toroid core and then to the ground as, how that all operates together. And then on the other side, total number of wraps between these twisted wire and this secondary wire is a grand total of 14 turns. And I'm not going to try and explain all the math involved to determine that's a 49-1, mostly because I don't know it off the top of my head. But ultimately turns this into a 49-1 transformer, which means in antenna terms, we are putting in, and I'm going to need a calculator. So we are putting in 50 ohms of resistance to the antenna. So 50 ohms is coming in, 50 times 49, almost 2,500 ohms of capacitance, or I forget which one it is. But anyway, it takes 2,400 ohms of offset, I'll just call it, to power and make the antenna resonant on all these different bands that it's worked for. It's all big, complicated math. I shouldn't say complicated. It's all a lot of math involved in order to calculate out all this information. It's all scientific, well-known numbers that you can put together now. And there's even modeling programs that will tell you that it will work or not. So, you know, in the way, it's kind of neat. You know, when you start to put this kind of stuff together and just see what you can do. So anyway, I think the antenna is pretty much ready to go up. The only thing I am missing at this point, besides the radio, is some way to ground it. And I think I'm just going to use it to receive signals on my little RTL SDR USB dongle. There are devices out there that allow you to receive signals from multiple sources. And so this works all the way down into the HF bands and all the way up to, I forget what the peak is, 900 megahertz maybe? Somewhere in that range. So there is a lot of, so it's got some pretty good uses. The problem is I'm not receiving any signals in the HF bands, or at least anything significant. So I'm hoping, and the antenna I'm using is sitting in the house, and I have steel siding on my house. If you know anything about radio signals and steel, they don't work very well together. So I am going to be, I need to get something outside and then something that actually is a better antenna for that kind of stuff. So I think it's working, or I hope it works. Once I get it up, then I can, and I'm going to measure it before I put it up again, just to make sure I didn't screw up and make it short. But then I can check to see if it's actually resonant and then tweak it a little bit, because I made it a little long on one side, just to make sure that I had room to trim it if need be. Let's see here. Where was I going with this now? So from there, come on, brain. I just lost my train of thought. So at least I can start receiving it, see how it works. And then kind of the last phases that have to be done before I can really hook up a radio to it or transceiver to it to, transmit. So I can transmit on it. I am going to have to properly ground that antenna, because it needs to be grounded. As I explained, and you may, visually is really hard to explain it, I suppose, but essentially this primary wire that I was talking about, it goes from the center pin, goes all the way around back down to the outer jacket of the braid that goes around the coax. So he visualizes, you're basically making a big loop. That goes right back to your radio. You don't want that. You want that to be almost nothing for signals on it in ideal world. That's not what you want. So I'm thinking about this. I'm looking at this like, oh, they say it requires grounding. It requires grounding. So before I get too far and start transmitting and so on, I'm going to have to get a ground rod, put that in, at the very least hook it up to a ground rod with just to ground it properly. Might not even add lightning protection, and then circle back and add lightning protection later. As you can probably imagine by saying lightning protection, I don't want to say it's expensive. You can make it expensive, but it's also not very cheap. But on the other hand, it's cheaper than buying a radio. So, and you have less fire risk. I think it's worth it. So most of the stuff I can buy at the local hardware store, I can use some rebates that we got from other things, and I can use that to buy that stuff. So it's almost not costing me anything, or I paid for it once before, however you want to look at it. It's almost nothing. I already paid for it once before. gotta love the 11% back from Menards. They have those sales very often, and it's very nice. And then if you happen to shop Home Depot the same week, Home Depot will actually match it. It's kind of nice. Speaking of rebates, I got to turn this one in. That's all of $12.65. It all adds up. I think that's one ground rod, or just about. So, I got, that's kind of that last part of the install is grounding this sucker. And, it sounds like it's not optional. It's mandatory. So, I'm going to have to figure out something, and whatever I do, it's going to be temporary/permanent. I'm not going to go back and redo it, but it's not going to be exactly the final result. Some of the lightning arresters and stuff aren't, I don't want to call them they are spendy. They're not expensive, but that depends upon your perspective of how much something is. I think they're around $50 to $60 depending upon what models you get, or there's different types and so on. So, but on the other hand, it helps protect your radios. You don't want lightning in your house. Lightning in your house means potential fires. And I literally have a wire from my roof down into my office right now. Not very smart, but I already had plans to kind of get that get the wire routed in a way that it would not affect, or that it would be safer down the road. I just hadn't had a full plan yet. The other stuff I need to get yet then is a box, a way to get the coax from outside, inside, and keep it insulated. There's still going to be some things, but I want to kind of get this to a point this year to where I don't have to think about it anymore. I probably will have two. I'll probably just keep the two external antennas for now, unless I somehow win a radio or something and want to add a third one, but outside. But primarily. I'm just going to keep the two antennas. I might raise up my antenna I have now up higher. I keep thinking about these top rail for the fencing, you know, the kind of top rails. They have a 20-foot one. They have a 20-foot section, let's put it that way. That would get my antenna up another, well, let's see, it's up to about 6.5 now. If I replace it with that, it'd get me up another about 15 feet. That's can be quite a bit, depending on exactly what you're looking at. The only thing is I'm wondering if that gets to be too high to where I need to start strapping things down. At that point, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go freaking 40 feet up because height is king. Long-term plans. You can only do one thing at a time. And unless you win the lottery, by the way, the winning lottery is on the fridge. Haha. Unless you win the lottery, you can't buy it all at once. So you just nickel and dime it away until you kind of get what you need. That's kind of how I've been doing most of the stuff. Yeah, unfortunately, you have to bite the bullet on a radio here and there. And I think I have made a decent decision. I could probably say buying used. I'm not totally against that, but the used market is between $800 and $900. I seen it for $800 a couple weeks ago. Why would I buy used at that point? Oh, that's something else. If you start looking at these HF radios, take what you pay for them and then use them for 20 years. Deduct, I don't know, 10 to 20% off the price and then try and sell it again. These things hold their values massively. When I started looking, it's like, okay, well, you know, if I find a good, I don't know, $300, $400 radio, something like that, maybe $300 radio, whatever. You know, it might work to get by, but I want to, you know, if I'm going to do that, I want a semi-decent one. Obviously, I don't want parts. So I was like, okay, well, let's just kind of look around. And holy cow, this is 27 minutes already. Whatever. You get a long one. And what I found is, yeah, there's some $300 ones out there, $400 ones. They're for parts or they don't work. The ones that are used that people sell, you can easily look at paying minimum $500 or more. Yeah. They hold their value very well, apparently. The only thing I know that holds their value better is a diesel 3/4 or 1-ton pickup truck. If you price any of those 5-6 years old, then you might as well buy new because it's about the same damn price. That much value is held. Those, especially the Chevys. I haven't looked at the other ones, but I could not believe it. So that's when I started looking at, well, all these YouTubers are recommending this, ICOM IC7300. I looked at a few things. I was really set at one point, like, I'm going to drive to Milwaukee. I'm going to play with these two radios. I'm going to have cash in hand, and then I'm going to say, I want that one after I play with it. Well, after watching some more videos and do some comparison videos against the other one I was looking at, I came to the conclusion I want the 7300. The other one is a little bit more. It could, it has this UHF VHF like I use now for the radio. but it's $1,200. I've never seen it discounted so far. And so for that same price, actually for less than that price, I can get the 7300 and this other radio I have now and still probably be money ahead a little bit. Nah, dreams, hopes. It's coming, it all kind of comes down to numbers and what you're comfortable with spending at the point when you start spending it. And I did a little looking. I was like, okay, I was looking at the ham radio outlet catalog just out of curiosity. They showed, you know, some of the more expensive models as well. One of them was only $15,000, I think. I think that was the most expensive one I found on at ham radio outlet was $15,000. That was it. That was it. Yeah. worse, there's a receive only radio that was actually more. So, sometimes when you start looking at the catalogs, you're like, I'm happy with my Pinto. or at least a Chevy Impala. Let's just go that. I'm happy with my Chevy Impala. I don't need a Cadillac. Does the same, get you here and there, gets you on the air. Yeah, it has some extra bells and whistles. Do you need them? Well, maybe if you got deep into contesting or something like that, but not normally. I've talked way too long about freaking ham radio, I guess, today. So it's 32 minutes at the end now. I'm so sorry. If you're still listening, you are freaking awesome. So I will talk to you probably tomorrow and hopefully a hell of a lot shorter show because I was explaining in like 5 minutes and then it's 32. Sorry. Okay. Talk to you tomorrow. And I've been signing off 7-3 to you. Bye. The intro music was Funkily Dugatitude by the late Derek K. Miller. The outro is Always Evermore by Eric Dietrich. You can contact me on most social networks with the username Mike Wills, one word. You can email me at mike@mikewills.me. You can find any show notes and my blog at mikewills.me. Thank you for listening and come back again.